Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, October 28th, 2015, episode 11.13, the Week 8 preview show. Look at me, people. Listen to me. I can breathe again. And although I'm still not 100%, I feel better today than I have like anywhere in the past 2 months. Starting to feel a little good. Got some stuff in me. Seen an allergist. Hopefully we've gotten to the bottom of what's going on with me, and I'll be able to come and continue to do this on a weekly basis. But lots to talk about. We'll recap Week 7, some of the stuff that happened last week in the NFL. JPP is back with the Giants. He has signed a one-year deal, and I think Tom Coughlin said he might be traveling with the team this week. I'll tell you about that. The Texans cut a quarterback. I'll tell you why. And I am Electro. Let's chop it in. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. That's right. I continue to come at you people wherever you are in this great big world of ours, and however you're listening to the show, thank you for continuing to do so. I really appreciate it. Folks, I'm back with a Week 8 preview. I'll tell you who I believe is going to win this week. We've got Mean Green putting up his picks against mine this week. We only differ on three games. Find out which three games those are. And last week, even though the fan that went up against me, Jason, beat me by one game, I have to say that
I am the smartest man alive!
That's right, I am the smartest man alive. We differ on three games last week, but Jason got to choose the challenge game. He chose incorrectly, putting his faith on the Houston Texans, and they let him down. We'll talk about that game in a minute. But before we get to the recaps, let's talk about some NFL news. All right. Jason Pierre-Paul, who, as you know, this summer had a scary accident with fireworks. He lost a finger and a half in his hand. He's back with the team. Finally showed up to the New York Giants facility. Team doctors have cleared him to be able to get on the field and play with the Giants. He's been out there practicing with them. He's not on the active roster yet. The Giants haven't made any actual changes to their roster. They don't have to do that until they physically put him on the roster and get him to start playing for the team. Tom Coughlin said that JPP was probably going to travel with the team to New Orleans because he wanted Jason Pierre-Paul to be in an environment of competitiveness. So he usually doesn't like injured players to travel with the team, but he's probably going to let Jason Pierre-Paul do that this week. We'll see when we see JPP up on the field. The Giants 4-3 atop the NFC East with the Eagles losing last week, beating the Cowboys. Going to see how this plays out with JPP, but he is back with the Giants, although not with a long-term deal, just a one-year deal. So we'll see if he stays there after this season is over. And we'll actually have to see how much he plays. Not sure he's going to be able to come in and be the pass rusher that they were anticipating him being. But at least he's back with the team right now. The Houston Texans have cut quarterback Ryan Mallett. If you didn't hear the story, if you listen to the show, you know that Ryan Mallett, early in the season, during training camp, during Hard Knocks, was told that Brian Hoyer was going to be the starting quarterback. The very next day, he missed practice. He didn't show up. He claims that his alarm didn't ring, it didn't go off, and he was late. Now it's turning out that he's missed he didn't miss meetings, but he was late to meetings, didn't show up on time. And most recently, last weekend, when the Houston Texans traveled to Miami to face the Dolphins, he missed the team flight. How ridiculous is that? How crazy is that? He missed the team flight, had to get a charter or get on a commercial airline flight from Houston to Miami. Was at the game, but he just didn't get it, just didn't make sure. This was obviously, of course, after they had sat Hoyer, made Mallett the starter again. But after a game a couple weeks ago, they sat him mid-game, and they decided to go with Hoyer again. And Mallett just did. Look, I was on Mallett's side. I can't believe he got hurt, injured his knee, was out for a couple plays, and then lost his job, was never able to go back in there. I was never a big fan of Bill O'Brien and this wishy-washy, yeah, you're my starter for a game. Now you're my starter for two games. Now I'm going to go back to this guy. He's my starter now. I was never a big fan of that, and I think Bill O'Brien handled it poorly from the beginning. However, with that said, you are a professional in the National Football League. This team is paying you very well. You're getting paid handsomely to be the backup quarterback, and your job is to be there and be ready to go should your number and your name be called upon. And Ryan Mallett just didn't get that. He didn't understand that even though he had been made the backup quarterback, his job was still to be there and be ready to go when everyone else was ready to go. And so by him missing a flight to a team game, that just was the last straw. We're finding out now that the Texans are saying he was had chronic tardy issues. He had been tardy for months, and the Texans tolerated that. But this missing the flight was the last straw, and boom, he's gone. I doubt Ryan Mallett plays in the National Football League again because coaches talk. And this coaching staff is going to say, you know what, if he loses confidence in you, he's just not going to be there anymore. That's what happened with Ryan Mallett. Look, I understand. You be upset. You be upset the way O'Brien kind of wishy-washy and kind of made you dangle the string in front of you and dangled you by a string in the starting job. And I understand all of that. But you still have to be a pro. And if that team is paying you and you're on that roster, you've got to show up and do your job. Ryan Mallett didn't do that. And that's going to get around. It's going to get around to the other teams and say, you know what, you can take a chance on him, but if he clearly gets an indication that he's not going to be your guy, he is then going to take a step back and not be the professional that you need in your locker room. That's what happened to Mallett. That's what happened to the Houston Texans. So that's really about all the news I'm going to be talking about. I know there's other things. Johnny Manziel's in trouble with the law and the NFL. Some police officers are questioning him about a thing that happened with his girl. I don't know all the details, so I'm not going to get into that. And Dez Bryant's back on the practice field for the Dallas Cowboys. Not sure if he plays this week against the Seattle Seahawks, so I won't get into that. But I will get into this. Right now what I'll say, if you're a Walking Dead fan and you're not all caught up and you haven't seen the latest episode or you want to watch it in the future, turn off the podcast right now and skip ahead 4 or 5 minutes. All right? There you go. Got your warning. Spoilers are coming up. If you're watching The Walking Dead and you're all caught up, what the heck is going on out there? Did you see the latest episode? Did they really do that to Glenn? This is a guy that has been there from the beginning. This is a guy that saved Rick. In the very, very second episode, when Rick comes into Atlanta and he's stuck in the tank and all the zombies are around the tank and you think, oh my God, this guy who, you know, is probably going to be the star of the show, he's going to die in the second episode because there's no way he's going to get out of this tank because it's surrounded by zombies. Glenn comes to his rescue, radios into the tank, and gives Rick a path and a way out, and he lives, and they become buddies, and they've gone through a lot. They've been through a lot. They've gone through the farm, and the prisoner, and the governor, and Alexandria, and all of this happens. But I will say this. Glenn, Rick had tried to teach you, and is trying to teach everybody, that you cannot give people in this post-apocalyptic zombie-filled world a second chance. You were with a guy who you saw let other people die. he tried to kill you, and you kept him around, and you kept giving him chances, and ultimately, he was your demise. Sad, sad way to go. A lot of people are saying that Glenn isn't dead. I don't know how he gets out of that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to watch the show. I mean, it's amazing. They're on top of this dumpster. They're surrounded by zombies. Zombies on all sides. This guy who he let live decides that he can't take it anymore. He doesn't see a way out of this situation. And he takes the gun that he has and he shoots himself in the temple, killing himself because he doesn't want to deal with what's going to happen next. And as he does that and he falls over, he takes Glenn down with him into the swarm of zombies. And we're left with just these zombies ripping apart all these organs and stuff. And it looks like it's Glenn. People are saying, no, it was the dude who died. They're taking his organs out, but Glenn's underneath him, and he's okay. He's not dead. I don't think so. I think he's dead. And very, very sad and emotional. I know my daughter did not like it at all. So there you go. It's The Walking Dead, people. If you're not watching it, watch it. If you're watching, I hope you're caught up. And I didn't give anything away, but good stuff there. Very, very dramatic and very powerful stuff. I love watching that show. It's really cool. And it's weird because I didn't want to watch the show because of the zombies. I don't like to get scared, but once you get past the zombies, the show about the characters that are surviving and how they survive, pretty impressive stuff. All right, let's get back to football. Week 7 is in the books. Pretty crazy last week. It started with Thursday night football. The San Francisco 49ers hosted the Seattle Seahawks, and that game was ugly. Seattle won 20-3. 49ers looked done, people. They're 2-5. They won that first game, the first week of the season against Minnesota, and everybody was like, hey, San Francisco not going to be that bad. And there's been a couple other games where they've been in, but, man, these last couple games, Kaepernick has looked bad. The 49ers offense looks non-existent, and they get smacked around 20-3 at home. Not very good. Then Sunday comes around. Yahoo Sports was the first online place to broadcast an NFL game. If you weren't in the Buffalo area or the Jacksonville area, the game, you could only see it online, streamed through Yahoo Sports. I'm not sure what to think of it yet. Fortunately, on my nice, beautiful, huge 4K, 65-inch Samsung, there was a Yahoo app, and I was able to download the app, and boom, the game played through there quite nicely. There were a couple times where the stream kind of was fuzzy, and it wasn't as clear as you would like for your game to be, but that only happened maybe 3 or 4 times. For the most part, it played really, really nicely. I know some other folks had problems with their stream, and it was kind of choppy or it buffered, and they were behind by a lot. But I think for the first time out, Yahoo did a good job streaming the game. Very nice experiment for the NFL. I'm sure they found just how many people would actually stream a game that way, especially that early in the morning. Like I said, Yahoo did a good job. CBS, they were basically carrying the CBS broadcast because CBS was being shown in the local markets, like I said, in Buffalo and Jacksonville. But for the most part, anywhere else in the world, if you had internet access, you could watch the football game. And I think you might have witnessed the future of the NFL. In a day and age where ESPN is firing 300 people because Disney says they have to cut $250 million off of its budget, and they lay off 300 people that have worked there forever, basically. Just networks aren't going to be able to bid $1.8, $1.9 million to broadcast NFL games. And I think it's going to go the way of what Yahoo did. I mean, I think Yahoo paid something like $22 or $25 million just to air that one game. That's crazy. That's pretty crazy. But they did it, and the game itself was pretty good. The Jacksonville Jaguars jumped out on top. It looked like they were going to dominate this football game. At one point, they were thrashing the Bills 27-3. But the Bills came roaring back. And they took they scored 18 points in the fourth quarter to take a 31-27 lead late in the fourth. But Jacksonville would not be denied. They came back, scored a touchdown, and took the lead 34-31, and that was your final, winning the second International Series game this year in London, and getting their first win in London, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They improved to 2-5, while the Bills dropped to 3-4, and my Super Bowl prediction is in clear danger as the Bills sit at 3-4. And the Cowboys sit at 2-4. Not good at all. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a huge lead against the Washington Redskins, actually winning 24-0 at one point. But they just could not hang on and find a way to lose it 31-30 to the Washington Redskins. The Atlanta Falcons, tricky Atlanta. One week they dominate. The next week they can only manage 10 points against the Tennessee Titans. And they win 10-7 on the road. The New Orleans Saints getting some life. 27-21 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. Colts fall to 3-4 while the Saints improve to 3-4. Indy has problems, people. They may not want you to believe it, and you may not want to believe it, but it is a fact. The Colts are in danger, and they have problems. The only saving grace for the Indianapolis Colts is they're in a division with the Houston Texans, the Tennessee Titans, and the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the winner of this division could ultimately be 7-9. God forbid, even possibly 6-10. Yikes! That is a possibility. Look it up, folks. The winner of that division could be 6-10. All right. Moving on, the Minnesota Vikings pounce the Detroit Lions 28-19. The Kansas City Chiefs beat up on the Pittsburgh Steelers without Ben Roethlisberger 23-13. Roughed up Landry a little bit there. The Rams all over the Cleveland Browns 24-6. Houston Texans get embarrassed by the Miami Dolphins 44-26. And what is up with Miami? Miami put up 41 points in the first half. They actually had a 41-0 lead at halftime. That is a lead I would love to have. If I were a coach, I want my team up 41-0 at halftime. And then the Dolphins only had to score a field goal in the fourth quarter. The Houston Texans scored 13 in the third, 13 in the fourth to make the final 44-26. But they were never in it. There was never any danger. And the Miami Dolphins have back-to-back wins where they have blown out their opponent. All right, the New England Patriots hold on to stay perfect at 6-0 as they beat the Jets 30-23. The Oakland Raiders, Raider Nation is very happy, 37-29 win over the San Diego Superchargers, who weren't so super. They did score 23 points in the fourth quarter to try and come back into the game, and they only wound up losing by 8, one score, but ultimately their final onside kick failed. And they just couldn't get it done. The New York Giants win 27-20 as ex-Dallas Cowboy Dwayne Harris returned a kickoff 100 yards to give the Giants the 27-20 win over the Dallas Cowboys that are just depleted and don't have enough on offense. Then the Carolina Panthers on Sunday Night Football took care of the Philadelphia Eagles 27-16. And on Monday night, the Arizona Cardinals held on to beat the Baltimore Ravens 26-18, and that is your week 7 recap, people. Let's get to week 8. As I said, Mean Green putting up his picks against me, and we'll start with El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. 6-0 Green Bay at 6-0 Denver, where the Packers travel to face the Denver Broncos at Mile High. The Broncos are actually dogs at home. They're home dogs. The Green Bay Packers are favored by 3. I like the Green Bay Packers because I think they have more offense than Denver. Yeah, Denver's got a really good defense right now. They're playing really hard. But Aaron Rodgers is going to find a way to find some holes in that Denver defense. And I just don't think the Broncos offense is looked – I mean, it haven't looked good. They haven't looked good all year. Peyton Manning over the last three games, are you ready for this numbers? Over the last three games before the bye, Peyton Manning has thrown two touchdowns, but he's thrown seven INTs, seven interceptions. That is not a good mark over the last three games. I think Green Bay gets after Peyton Manning a little bit, and Aaron Rodgers will do just enough to stay perfect. They will stay 7-0, and Denver will get their first loss. Mean Green agrees with me on El Juego Grande Estupendo de Semana. We both like Green Bay. So let's get on to games of the week. We'll start in New Orleans as the New Orleans Saints, now with a little bit of sense and purpose to their season, host the New York Giants, who are coming off a win over division rival Dallas. The Giants, they're kind of up and down. Hot, cold, started cold, got hot there for a little bit. Then they looked really bad against the Philadelphia Eagles. And quite frankly, offensively, they didn't do a whole lot of much last week against the Dallas Cowboys. It was their special teams and their defense that handed them 14 points. Seriously, of those 27 points, 14 points were gift-wrapped by the defense and the special teams. It was a pick six of Matt Castle and that 100-yard kickoff return that I talked about Dwayne Harris doing. So the Giants' offense still has some issues. And with weapons like Odell Beckham Jr., you would think that the offense would kind of be clicking a little bit better. Not sure right now that the New York Giants are as good as everybody thinks they are. Everybody's already toasting them as, yes, they lead the NFC East and they could win the NFC East, but you know what? 8-8, 9-7 could win the NFC East. I'm not sure the New York Giants have enough. And guess what? Mean Green also agrees with me. We both have the New Orleans Saints finally getting a win at home. It has been difficult for New Orleans to win in the Superdome, but this is where they bounce back, and they looked really good last week. And they'll keep going this week against Eli Manning and the Giants. The next huge game of the week, and this is a big one, the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals coming off their bye play the Pittsburgh Steelers. And guess who's back from Pittsburgh? Guess who's back? Back again. Guess who's back again, people? Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger is back to play for Pittsburgh, and the Pittsburgh Steelers fans rejoice. Rejoice, people! Rejoice because you got your Roethlisberger back. Your Roethlisberger back, baby. That's right. Because right now you need him back. The quarterback play has not been fantastic. However, you're going up against a Cincinnati Bengal team that is perfect. They believe in themselves. They believe that they are the best team in this division. They will take care of business. They've had 2 weeks to prepare. Doesn't matter if it's Roethlisberger or Landry or Vic, or whoever the Pittsburgh Steelers throw out there, the Cincinnati Bengals will get it. Cincinnati Bengals get no respect, man. This game is a pick'em. It's a pick'em. I mean, is it saying that, well, I guess they're getting a little bit of respect because the Steelers aren't even getting their 3 points for home field advantage. And a neutral site, Cincinnati would be favored by 3, and at home they'd be favored by 6. So it's a little bit of respect. But I like Cincinnati to win outright. They don't need any points. Pittsburgh is good, and they'll probably be there in the end fighting. They're just not going to be able to beat Cincinnati this week, not when they've had 2 weeks to prepare for them. All right, Mean Green also picks Cincinnati. He's taking him as well. So we'll move on to New England, where the New England Patriots host the Miami Dolphins. Since returning from London and after their bye week, the Miami Dolphins have scored 82 points. You heard me correctly. 82 points in their past two games. Granted, it was against Tennessee Titans and the Houston Texans. But still, in the National Football League, when you put up those kind of points, it's pretty impressive. Now it's a short week. Thursday night football, they have to travel, go on the road to face the New England Patriots. However, over the last several years, even when the New England Patriots were doing very well and have been doing very well, the one team that they've struggled against has been the Miami Dolphins. Now, the Miami Dolphins are only 3-3, and I don't think they're going to be threatening the New England Patriots anytime soon for this division. But Dan Campbell is the key here. He has got this team, this Miami Dolphins team, playing like I've not seen them play in a long time. The defense is swinging, playing and firing on all cylinders. Offensively, Ryan Tannehill's looking pretty good. Lamar Miller has all of a sudden decided he can still run the football, and this team's looking pretty impressive with Landry Jones, the wide receiver, and Rishard Matthews. Now, if they can go in New England and get the early strikes and get after Tom Brady and hit him and smack him around a little bit, Brady doesn't like that, they might be able to win this game. However, it's a short week. They're on the road. You got to favor the New England Patriots because they're at home and because all the weapons that the New England Patriots has. Look, the thing about the Patriots is it doesn't matter how they win. They just win. One week, they'll run the ball and kill you to death with Deion Lewis. The next week, it's the Gronkowski show. One week, it's Julian Edelman. Last week, it was Danny Amendola. It does not matter who they do it. They find somebody to do it, and they ride that person that week. And fantasy football players, that's why they hate the New England Patriots, don't know who to play. I don't know who to play this week because I don't know who Tom's going to key on and go at. Now, the Miami Dolphins have struggled a little bit against the tight end, so maybe it's going to be a Gronkowski show, but maybe the Dolphins know that, hey, we're a little weak against the tight end. Let's play up on Gronkowski, and that means – Tom Brady then goes to Edelman or Amendola or LaFell or somebody else. Or maybe they run the ball, 30, 40 times with LeGarrette Blount. Don't know what happens with the New England Patriots. They just find a way to win the football game. They don't care who does it. They just want to get it done. And I think short week, Thursday night at home, they'll take care of business and New England will win. I'm not touching that game. It's 8 points. They're favored by 8. I don't know if it'll be that much, but New England will find a way to win. Now, this is the first game that Mean Green and I differ on. He will have the option of picking the challenge game. That is because
I am the smartest man alive!
Since I won last week, Mean Green gets to pick for the fans, and he'll be able to decide which game should be the challenge game. All right, going up to Oakland, the New York Jets go all the way across the country to face the Oakland Raiders. Raiders coming off that huge win against the San Diego Chargers. The Raiders are dogs at home, Jets favored by 1.5. I like New York in this one. I think the Jets are doing pretty good. They are firing on all cylinders offensively now. Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, giving that offense some weapons that they can go to reliably. Chris Ivory is running like he's found the fountain of youth. And we both like, both me, Green, and I, like the New York Jets. The other thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's been to Oakland and played against the Oakland Raiders on 3 occasions. And all 3 times, Ryan Fitzpatrick has found a way to be victorious and win the football game. So, with that, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he knows how to win in Oakland, and the Jets are playing good football. And although Oakland looks really good, Oakland is not the scrub 3-4-win team that everybody thought they were going to be. They're playing good football. They're just not going to have enough to take care of the New York Jets. Both Mean Green and I like the Jets this week. The final game of the week takes us to Carolina on Monday Night Football, where the Carolina Panthers face the Indianapolis Colts. And as I said earlier on the show, danger, danger, Will Robinson, danger, danger. The Indianapolis Colts are in danger. They are in trouble. They're not playing good football. And yeah, maybe Andrew Luck is hurt, and maybe that offense is not as good as a lot of people thought they were going to be going into the season. They're certainly not running the football effectively. Even though Frank Gore has shown some brilliances here and there, some flashes, it's just not consistent enough. And that offensive line is not protecting Andrew Luck at all. He is getting hit a lot. He's running around a lot. Just not very good. And I'm not sure that they're all, on what Chuck Pagano's got anymore. Yeah, the whole Chuck Strong is gone now, and I'm not sure that everybody's on board with what he is selling. I like Carolina. I think earlier in the season when they were 3-0, I said this team is doing it with smoke and mirrors. I don't care how they're doing it. They're getting it done. They believe in Cam Newton. Cam Newton is coming out. He says, I believe in myself. I believe in this football team. We can get it done. Let's get it done. And they're getting it done. They're doing it. They're finding ways to win. Last week against the Philadelphia Eagles, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't sexy. It was darn right ugly. And I think Cam Newton threw three interceptions in that football game. Did not matter. They found a way to get the W. And at the end of the day, this season, in this NFL, it is okay to win ugly, and that's what they're doing. And they're getting it done. In this game, the Carolina Panthers are actually favored by a touchdown. They're favored by 7 points, people. That is a lot. I'm not sure I like that line, but I like Carolina to get it done, and so does Mean Green. We both are on the Panthers. Let's move on to games of interest. All right, we'll start in Cleveland, where the Cleveland Browns host the Arizona Cardinals, and Bruce Arians is coming to town. Arizona favored by 4.5. I like them to take care of business and get all over the Cleveland Browns. First of all, today McCown missed practice because of a shoulder injury. Manziel's dealing with legal issues. I don't even know who's going to quarterback the Cleveland Browns this week. But whoever it is, their Arizona Cardinals are going to get all after him. I like Arizona to win and win big. So does Mean Green. The Detroit Lions travel to Kansas City to face the Chiefs. This is another early morning game, international series game in London. We'll start at 6:30 in the morning for me over here on the West Coast. East Coast, 9:30 a.m. kickoff start. Detroit just doesn't have it together this week. They fired their offensive coordinator. They fired their offensive lineman coach. You could point the finger and blame the offensive coordinator, blame the coach, blame whoever you want. At the end of the day, when the players are on the field, they're making mistakes. They're throwing interceptions. They're fumbling the football. They're getting penalties. They're not disciplined. And, yeah, part of that is coaching, but part of that is just the players being boneheads. They're being boneheads and not getting it done. I don't trust Detroit at all. And it's weird because they have so much talent on that football team, but they're just not getting it done. I like Kansas City. They're favored by 5.5 points, but I think that's a lot of points. I'm not sure I like that line. But I do like Kansas City to get the win. Mean Green likes Kansas City also. All right, folks, going to finish up here pretty strong. I'm running out of wind and air. You might hear it in my voice a little bit, so let me just finish out these final picks. You're going to be surprised with one. Minnesota Vikings at Chicago, but we both like the Minnesota Vikings to win on the road. The Chicago Bears just not that good this year. They're struggling. They've struggled at home, which is weird. And they've also struggled against the Minnesota Vikings lately. Adrian Peterson, I look for Adrian Peterson to have a big game. A kid that I like for the Minnesota Vikings, Stephon Diggs, the wide receiver. This guy has pretty much supplanted everybody as the number one wide receiver in Minnesota. He looks pretty good. If you don't have him in fantasy football, he's still available. Go snatch him up. I snatched him up in just about every league that I've been in, and he has done very well for me over the last 2 weeks, looking very good. We both like Minnesota in that game. San Diego travels across the country to face the Baltimore Ravens. Usually I don't like San Diego going to the East Coast to play a game, but the Baltimore Ravens, they're lacking something. It's just not their year. Not their year. And San Diego needs to get back on track. I think they will find a way to do it and take care of Baltimore. Final game of interest, the Seattle Seahawks travel to Dallas to face the Dallas Cowboys. And I think this is what's going to shock you. It is a game that both Mean Green and I differ on. I've got the Seattle Seahawks. Mean Green has the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think that's ever happened on this show where I am picking against Dallas and the fan is actually picking Dallas. Not sure that has ever happened. With that being said, I can tell you what I'm going to hear from Mean Green tomorrow is that he's going to make that the challenge game, and it's going to serve me right that the game I pick against Dallas is going to be a challenge game that I'm going to lose. Just watch. That's what's going to happen. All right. Nap games. We agree that St. Louis will take care of business against the San Francisco 49ers. We both like Atlanta to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And in the final game, it's actually off the board in most places. I've got the Houston Texans at home. Mean Green is taking the Tennessee Titans to get a win. The reason is off is because they don't know if Marcus Mariota is going to be playing in that game or not. Doesn't matter who plays. I think Houston got the message when Ryan Mallett got fired this week. I think they're going to kind of try and bounce back and get the win, and they will do it at home in front of the home crowd. So Mean Green, just Thomas. Thomas, I know that I sent you a very late email today. If you're listening to the show or you got the email, please reply back. You got three games, Miami at New England, Tennessee at Houston, Seattle at Dallas. You've got the road team in Miami and Tennessee. I've got New England and Houston. And then I've got the road team in Seattle. You've got Dallas. You get to pick the challenge game. Please either reply back to the email, folks, if you're listening. And please also send me which one of those three games you would like to make the challenge game, just in case I don't hear back from Thomas, because I'd like to have a challenge game up by Saturday, if at all possible. Finally, I haven't done this in a while. For all you great show donors out there who continue to contribute to the show, thank you very much. A nice little mini fathead for you. This is of quarterback Sam Bradford back when he was with the St. Louis Rams. So it's a Sam Bradford St. Louis Rams mini fathead, and it's going to go to the following show donor. Let me pull up the random.org website and hit the generate button, and there it is. Randomness is number 28. Show donor, if your number is 28, let me look you up. Jeremy Rushworth. Jeremy, thank you very much for continuing to be a show donor of NFL Rants and Raves. I will send you an email, and I could get an address to send you your mini fat head of Sam Bradford. Folks, I'm just about done here. Thank you very much for continuing to listen to NFL Rants and Raves. Please come out to the website, www.nflrnr.com. Make your picks. That's how you can get to put your picks up against me. Going pretty good. We got a pretty tight competition there. A lot of people bunched up there with about 70, 69, 68 wins all right in there. Pretty good. I think I'm at 69 wins, and I'm chasing, or 68 wins. I'm chasing a couple people up there for top spot. Thank you very much for listening. Week 8 is upon us. If you're in London, I wish I was there. I miss you folks. But things kind of changed up, so I wasn't able to get out there this year. But thank you very much for continuing to listen and all of your support. You've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda, and I'm out.